Hey, everybody. We just finished recording
an
episode just now, but I want to get a little intro for the top. So welcome to We Hired a Sitter for This. Enjoy.
You are listening to the We Hired a Sitter for This podcast.
We hired a sitter for this.
We have a roster of like seven sitters.
I'm spending $3,000 on paints.
Do you go to therapy?
Never have, no.
There was a small fire. I put it out.
Real talk. The stakes are too high with my baby.
Comedy, parenting, marriage, life.
We do it.
I'm a dad, and I'm busy.
I have an opinion. I don't know if it'll be right, but...
I'm Patrick.
My name is Gastro.
And we hired a sitter.
Oh, man. Yo, I love... You can't let it go. He needs it. He needs the intro. That was bothering you the whole hour. He's like, we got to get the intro. We got to get the intro. I need the intro. Where is the intro? Damn it, Gastro. When Gastro leaves, I'm going to use the green screen to record the intro and just leave his body on the side.
Yep.
Not talking.
I snuck it in.
Okay, now let's travel back in time by 1 hour and see how this episode actually started.
I multitask too much, I think.
You can tell me about that in a minute. Let's kick it off. All right.
I like that you like official intros.
Yeah. Do you not do them on the War Report?
Unofficially, there's an. I always say, "What up, Sha?"
Oh, that's nice.
That's the start of every episode. Is me saying hi to her.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And organic. And
I'm with you.
We can start 20 seconds ago when we started. That's fine.
We in it, baby.
Yeah. We're here. We're back. We survived a trip upstate together.
Oh, yeah. We're better for it. We're stronger.
But wait, what were you doing? You said you multitask too much?
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder, I'm as a Dominican from East New York that doesn't do, therapy, I'm realizing that, my character traits might just be things that, I needed therapy for or, medicine,
right.
You know? I get really into, a lot of things at once, and I get distracted, and I feel like that's what ADD is,
I don't know
if I have it as much as, I'm just yo, I got a lot of goals,
I assume you're talking about digital distractions, you jump on the phone, what are you getting up to when you get on the phone?
Well, just because of the job, so when I'm on the phone, I'm doing social media stuff, I'm responding a lot to other people's comments. B,
yeah.
Looking for stuff to post on my own. C,
right.
I'm trying to see what's working for other people so I can implement it myself.
You want
to
see what the competition's
up to.
Yeah,
yo, you know what I mean?
This is a battle.
Sword sharpens sword, baby.
This is a battle out here.
You know what I mean? Streets is crazy digitally.
Which is so funny. It's so funny to pretend like this because we've had so many beautiful conversations about how it's not a contest, and it really is. I love that thing that people say: a rising tide raises all boats. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful idea.
I genuinely believe that. I'm teasing, but I want to be the best comic in the world.
Yeah.
But I am okay not being that if in the process, A, I become the best I could be, and B, I feel like indirectly I helped someone become that.
Well, that's all nice and fine and beautiful, but I think we should talk about our first hater. We just got our first hater on YouTube.
Let me
read this.
You.
Should I read this comment? Is that what the troll they say, don't feed the trolls? Should
nah,
we not
feed all the trolls?
I just think this lady's mistaken. I think it's a lady. That says a lot that I'm assuming that this person is a lady. But I don't know, man. The sound is on. Let me turn off the sound. So this is in response to a clip. This clip that went up about my mom. We put up a little silly clip about moms can't play baseball, I think is the joke of the clip.
Yeah.
I don't even know. We don't believe that. The joke, what we were saying is my mom coached my T-ball team. And anyway, I'll read the comment first.
My mom's Dominican. So, she got a cannon, okay?
I believe it. So this person says, in quotes, so this person is accusing us of saying this. She says, yeah, my mom can't swing a bat. She's just a dumb woman. Shame on her. She should have been at home licking the toilets clean because she's too dumb and worthless for anything else. And then in their own words, they're saying that poor woman thought she was raising a child and that was important. And these two men are here to say that being a mother is worthless. put it on our critics' quotes, guys. We think mothers are worthless.
Whoa, that was so not
right. Right.
The quote. That's nothing of what we said at
like,
all.
The point of what we said is that moms show up and they do the things they don't want to do. And I just wrote back, my mom rules. It's weird, man. I'm not gonna. If I ever have to deal with a lot of stuff like that, you got to do a lot of mental work. Cause I want to just like email the person and be like, no, that's not what this was, or you're wrong, or I want to like make them feel bad or whatever. But like,
It's a waste of time, B.
Do you read the comments? Cause you are out there. Like, do you read the comments?
Sometimes. I think they're funny. I get this quite often. A lot of people say my accent is fake. They're like, he's not really from there, and I still live there.
Right.
They're like, he ain't from East New York. I'm like, I'm very much in East New York now.
Oh, actually, here's an interesting thing about you. You're officially famous. So you dropped me a Venmo for some money for podcast expenses. This is an expensive production, you guys. So if you're watching, you enjoy this, send it around to other people, goddammit. We need to make this work.
We try, baby.
It's not that expensive, but there's money involved.
Yeah.
So you dropped me a Venmo, which I appreciate it. Thank
you. Of course, what we do, baby.
Last night, I was scouring Craigslist, or the last few days, scouring Craigslist for some hard drives, because really, it's the 4K footage. It's all this footage. It's got to end up somewhere. So this guy was offloading a couple big drives that are retail for, the two of these drives retail for probably $400 or $500.
Okay.
He's selling them for $200 for the two drives. So I went, I drove to Bed-Stuy, pick up these drives out on the street in front of a church. He comes out with the drives. I give him the money. It looks very shady from the outside.
Love all this.
But we end up having a very pleasant, quick conversation. And he says, you're a fascinating person. I'd love to stay in touch. I said, well, yeah, I've got this podcast and here's my Instagram. And I end up, he followed up. He texted me. He was like, what is your podcast, etc. I sent it to him. And then right away, he's like, oh, I know Gastor Almonte. I saw him at a show recently. He's got a bunch of jokes about East New York. And I was that's Gastor. That's Gastor in a nutshell. So
the brand is strong, as they say.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. So this dude, I never even got his name. He's a fan. And we're just making connections through capitalism and the secondhand market on the internet.
Shouts to this dude.
Yeah.
That's officially your name, this dude Smith.
This dude Smith on Stuyvesant Avenue in Bed-Stuy. Thanks again for the gear. But yes, folks, please, for the love of God, if you're enjoying this, send it around to some people, and maybe we'll start being able to sell ad time or something.
That'd be
on
awesome.
This show.
And also, like, maybe not assume the worst of us when you do listen to a clip. Like, there's context usually. We're just showing you like silly portions of it that we think out of context are funny.
Right.
But in context, we're usually saying something I feel like is right or nice.
Right.
I don't think we're jerks as people.
No. I love the shit out of my mom.
Yeah.
But she's no Paul O'Neill.
Two things bothered me about that. One, if anything, why are you getting mad at me? He said the wild shit, theoretically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was just there. You know what I mean? We can't blame the editor. He's the editor.
Yeah.
Okay?
And look, lady.
He clipped it up.
If you just send us some money, we'll hire an editor with a little bit more politics that are in line with yours.
Amen. Amen. But nah, man. Moms are dope. Real talk. They show up to all the stuff that dads don't.
God
They're
bless
great.
Them.
Real talk. Keep doing what y'all do.
Yes.
Your brand is dope. Real talk. I don't know how y'all keep it up, but
the mom brand is like really growing every year.
Every year. Solid. You know what I mean? Blue chip stock.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see you.
Likewise, brother. Back, baby.
So tell me, you got a little cold, you're losing your voice, and you have one of the biggest weeks of your comedy career coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I won't say one of the biggest weeks of my comedy, but it's a taping. I'm excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time I have a taping, I feel like I lose my voice.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons, I think it has to do with like, you know, you use your voice more the week of, right? You're like prepping for the set.
The body knows,
you know, and just in general, we're out a lot. We're exposing ourselves to more germs than most people.
Yeah, that's
being
true.
Stand-ups, and then the week of, you do that more than ever.
Yeah.
There's a there's a thing I did for Comedy Central. It was Chris DeStefano. Shouts to Chris. Had a show that used to play in clips in between other shows, and my voice sounded like that. Like,
is it the one where he's like interviewing you at the bar? Or something?
Yeah, my voice sounds weird as hell there. Yeah, it literally. Like, it wasn't even that, like, I fully lost my voice that morning. I thought I was going to have to cancel the set. Yeah. I couldn't talk for, like, the 4 hours leading up to the show. So I showed up. I'm drinking tea. I'm drinking water. And, like, half hour before it's my turn, I'd been faking everything. They're like, yo, sign here. And I'm like, you know, they're like, oh, this guy's, like, mad zen. I had to talk the whole, like, prep work. They're doing makeup with me. And, like, I'm like, I'm just trying to focus, you know. But, like, I just couldn't do any vocalizing. And like half hour before it was time to finally record, that screechy voice you hear during that whole thing is the loudest I could get. So I was like, I could power through this.
It's like you were going through puberty at
real
the time.
Real talk,
your hormones. Do you remember your puberty years?
Not really. I was confused about erections. I remember that.
Yeah, that's.
I've talked about it.
A surprise.
Yeah, you know, they're. But see, like,
I still am, because I get them at inopportune times sometimes, and I'm like, what is going on here? But I just learned a thing recently. I read online, if you hold your breath, it'll go away.
Is that true?
I think
that's because you die.
If you deny your body oxygen, it just freaks out. It's like, well, this isn't sexy or hot at all. So
is that like when you're dying right now? Is that like how, like, when you chew gum, you relax because your body assumes that
you can't be
stressed when you're eating?
I have no idea. Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, do you recall the first time you had an erection and it was confusing to you?
I remember thinking that, like, erections were counter to the goal, because I didn't know how sex worked, right? So I thought that, like, oh, like, if I get hard, no one's going to want this.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought I had to stay soft.
Well, you were just like, this isn't going to fit anywhere.
Yeah, like, this is a problem, you know, like. I gotta control this.
If it's soft, that's much more comfortable.
Yeah, because now you can shove it in. Like, yeah, it's malleable. You know, like that was my thinking.
Yeah.
So like every time I got an erection, I was stressed out. Like, oh shit, I don't know how other guys doing it. I don't see anybody with erections.
Right.
It's just me.
Right.
So yeah, I would like forcibly try to keep it down.
Yes.
Instead of like having it,
which is one of the most painful experiences of any young man's life, is trying to force nature away. Anyway,
years of discipline, baby. You know, I figured it out. I'm here.
Yeah,
a lot of belts.
Yes,
that's why I sag my pants to this day. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Man. So I got to witness some of the pants sagging this weekend. I watched you leave an Italian restaurant with a bag full of pasta sauces and a backpack full of production equipment. Amen. And the pants were falling down the stairs. It was like a Three Stooges sketch.
Heavy. Yeah, man. You know what I mean? the crown that I wear, you know, is diesel, and weight goes down to my belt sometimes, you
yes.
know? and this, yeah, I don't wear belts for belt purposes. I feel weird when I do that. It feels too restrictive.
Yeah.
And my whole swag only works if my hands are free.
Uh-huh.
You know, so when, like, I got stuff in my hands, like, I'm already like, this ain't what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. You holding a bag of groceries does seem sort of off.
I don't do it. Real
like,
talk.
Like, and you're definitely not the guy who's going to put a tote over his elbow. Like,
nah,
a
I'm
tote
good.
While holding the phone or something like that. Yeah.
Not at all. When I put everything in the cart. I load the cart one at a time.
Yeah.
And when I get home, I call the kids.
Yeah,
that's how
I was
going to
say,
groceries.
Or you yell and say, somebody come get this.
I got the stuff. Go get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I got to see you with all this pasta sauce at the end of our show Friday night. We had a big fundraiser show upstate.
Yeah, yo.
Through Hy-Tee V. It was a success. I think this was a very successful pilot episode of what it would look like for you and I to do some co-headlining shows.
Yeah, man, I think it went well. Shouts to Hy-Tee. I know we made her nervous throughout that whole show.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Every now and then we were supposed to do a clean set. We did clean adjacent, I think.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
we definitely tiptoed the line a few times.
Yeah.
And they were very sweet there, but like, they definitely had moments where they're like, oh no, we don't talk about that.
Uh-huh. What do you think the general age group was, if you had to do the average or mean age of the room.
Yeah, I think Heidi helped bring it down to a solid 74.
If she wasn't there, we would be very, very close to triple digits. there were people who may have arrived here on the Mayflower. It was a mature audience. Real mature talk. Audiences only. No, they were a great crowd. It was really fun. I do think if we do show the footage from the show, people are going to look at it and be like, is anybody there? Because the camera angle I chose, in the foreground, is just an empty dance floor and then the stage. So if we ever put that video up in any way, please know there was a solid 45 elderly folks enjoying themselves. Maybe more than 45. 50.
But like, if you go by percentage of people alive at that age, it's more. We were crushing it. You know what I mean? Real talk.
For that market, we sold out that market.
Real talk. In that area?
In Dutchess County, New York. every person of a certain age was at that show.
Oh, yeah.
All 30 of them.
Real talk.
It was so fun. What was I gonna say?
That was awesome.
No,
man.
Heidi's great. The drive was great. If you're listening to this podcast in order, you saw last week our drive up. We did a little duo set at the end.
Yeah, man, that was sincerely fun.
Like, it was fun to be on stage.
I had a blast, man. Like, we got to like kind of play around, see what we could do together.
I don't think when Freddie G and I guess it was Freddie G and I start. Did he produce the duo show? I can't remember if he did the duo show and I just did it a bunch, or if I was doing it with him.
Yeah,
but I don't think you and I ever played together on stage before.
I haven't done that with many people. Period.
That can be really fun, or it could be a nightmare. But yeah, I think it was. I think it's good.
I could count who I've been on stage with. It's literally like under 5 people.
Yeah,
I don't normally do stuff with other comics.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a solo pursuit. It's so hard to like get laughs as an individual, and even harder as a duo. But I think Ross was saying we have a good odd couple thing going on.
Yeah,
we're like Jack Lemmon and the other guy. I can't remember who the other guy was.
I don't even know the reference right now.
That is White Culture. White Culture from the 50s, 60s, probably 60s.
Okay. I don't know why I thought that was like a 30 Rock reference or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, any you know, odd duo is, it's definitely a template from early days of comedy, I guess.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so I'm trying to think of what we should say, because maybe we could just tell the story of how that day went, because if we do make a little documentary, we'll have some narration for it. But yeah. Oh, you know what I enjoyed?
What's that?
When we parked the car, we went on a little nature walk.
Yeah, yo.
We went on the walkway over the Hudson, which is a beautiful little walk that goes from Poughkeepsie over to Highland, over the Hudson River. And you had your little, I didn't know this about you. I didn't know you were a photographer. You're out there with a beautiful camera just snapping photos.
Yeah, I'm a terrible photographer, but I'm learning.
Yeah.
I think it's important to be bad at stuff. And accept it and get better at it. So yeah, like I bought a Ricoh, a GR3. It's like a street photography camera.
Yeah, it's a fixed lens, right?
Yeah, it's a fixed lens, and like it's all black, so like it kind of like blend in, and you can just take pictures without bothering people.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like the, I miss with stand up. I miss like not knowing how things were gonna go and not being good most times. If that makes sense. I like the process of like, oh, I'm gonna struggle at something and learn how to be good at it.
Like, this is gonna be a little weird.
Yeah. And so pictures are trash. Like consistently. I would say like every 100 pictures I get like 2 like okay ones.
Can we show some of the pictures?
Sure. I'll show y'all some horrible ones. Yeah.
All right, cool.
They're bad. It just is what it is. The iPhone would do so much better for most of the things.
Yeah.
But I also have seen what this camera is capable of in the right hands.
Yeah.
And it's significantly better than what an iPhone could do in the right hands.
Right.
So while I'm on the, I'm further away now, I want to learn how to act, like really use this tool.
Yeah.
And I do think it translates to other stuff I want to do in comedy and in art later. But yeah, like I just like really learning how to do something. I embrace the process and I'm okay with being trash right now. So I got some real blurry pictures of the Hudson.
Nice.
You know, that I'll be happy to share. A whole bunch of blown out skies.
Well, I love that. I love that it's a camera too, because like when you take pictures on your phone, you have to look at the phone. And yeah. if you pick up your phone, there's a notification, then you got to look at that other thing.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, the thing you wanted to take a picture of is gone because you're on Twitter now. And yeah, it's our brains aren't supposed to handle all those distractions.
Yeah, dude,
but
it's too much.
If you're just looking through the lens and taking the pictures, that's such a cool experience. It really helps you be where you are at that moment.
Yeah, it's putting me in a frame of mind. It's in the car right now. I try to like have it with me every day and take a couple pictures.
Yeah.
And like then like once a week, I kind of sit at the computer. And like when the videos for my podcast are rendering, I look at them and see if like, oh, I could edit this. Oh, this would have been a better picture if someone else took it. But slowly, I feel like in a year or two, they'll be okay, you know?
Do you do any portraiture? Do you take pictures of people with that camera?
Yeah, that's my goal. Like my goal, like I got pictures of you there. That's kind of what started it because like we have... we're blessed with a bunch of like talented photographers in the comedy scene. Mike yeah. Breaks, my homie, yeah. Photo Juice, you know what I mean? They're like, they're out there documenting us on stage. And I felt like there was a lack of pictures of comics just chilling.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Like, some candids.
Yeah, and like yeah. all of my memories and all of my favorite things about comedy are rarely the stage part. It's right. the rest of it.
Yeah.
And like, so I started carrying it as a way to take pictures that didn't feel like I was taking pictures.
Yeah.
Because then I would take out my phone and like people think I was either stepping away from the moment or very much taking a picture of us.
Oh, good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like same with like the big camera. If I brought like a DSLR, it looked like I'm taking the pictures. People stop being candid.
Right.
The Ricoh is just kind of like low key. I'm always wearing like a black something. So yeah. I'm just kind of like, blend it in, take the pic.
You're in the cut.
Yeah.
You're like a private investigator.
Exactly. And the moment still stays.
I like it.
Yeah. So like for a year or two, they're going to be these blurry pictures. Nobody going to know who's in them. I get it. But I'm hoping that like as time goes on, I get good at this and I have these like memories that I've captured.
I predict a coffee table book in your future.
Amen.
Green Real rooms. Talk. Green rooms with G.
Amen.
Or G's Green Rooms.
Ooh.
Something
coming
like that.
Soon, baby.
Yeah. I got ideas, man. So I wanted to share another dating update with you.
Talk to me.
Dating my wife. I told you on the car ride, we booked a date night for last weekend.
Love that for y'all.
Yeah, we did it Saturday night. We hired a sitter for this.
We hired
our dear friend Andrea, who's actually a comic herself, Andrea Shapiro. I don't know if you remember her from the QED days.
Gang, gang. What's up, Andrea?
Amazing person, great babysitter. She comes over about 6 o'clock. We took a long 45 minutes to leave because we got a lot of instructions. We got to update. Andrea hadn't seen Franny in like a year or something, so we had to update her on the new do's and don'ts and rules of the road and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We should have just said, hey, good luck, we'll see you later, and yeah, we should have just left.
I agree.
that was mistake number one. And if you can't tell, Date night was fine. It was great. I love spending time with Ross, but it just, things fell apart a little bit. Originally, we wanted to go to Bath House in Williamsburg.
Right. I remember this.
You ever go to that place?
I haven't, no.
So that place is like it's fancy. It's nice. It's very clean. It's like a nightclub vibe. Like they have good like house music. I mean, I don't know if it's good music, but it's like house music playing. It's really just not, and there's a restaurant built into, you can go to the restaurant in your robe. We did that for Ross's birthday once.
Hell yeah.
It's a little pricey, but it's worth it. And that's where we were at, that you recommended do a spa day if you're exhausted. So that's what we did. But we call up and they're like, yeah, we don't have space. We don't have walk-in space. Try our other location. We call that location. We can do that, but not till 9:30. We're supposed to be back for 10. We hired her from 6 to 10. Long story short, we end up going to the Russian and Turkish baths on 10th Street in the East Village, which is a staple of our relationship. We used to go there with friends. It's a New York institution. You ever go there?
No.
You should check this place out. We should go together. I don't know if you want to be around me nearly naked and
not at all.
In a sauna. Nope. You like a sauna?
Nah.
Not a steam room?
I don't do any of that.
What about a pool? A hotel pool?
I want to be cold and private, like by myself.
Cuddled under the blankets.
Real talk, B.
They should have They should have blanket spas where you're just cuddling.
Now we talking.
You can have the game on or something. Real I guess talk. We'd just do that at your house. You'll be in your chair. I could be that. On the couch.
Great idea. Let's do that.
That could be our real sauna talk. Day. All right. So, but so it's like a very European and I guess Russian and Turkish, Eastern European tradition to like go with your family and sit in the sauna and sweat and schwitz and, you know, get the toxins out. You know, it's like a social event. And
that sounds like torture, just for the record. None of that sounds good at all. Let's get together and suffer.
I mean, some of the rooms at the Russian Turkish baths, it's in a basement in the East Village. And some of these rooms are torture. I mean, it's just dry heat. It's like 174 degrees.
Oh, my God.
And then there's some rooms it's moist heat. It's like wet heat.
Why?
I guess it's to like loosen up the muscles. It gets the toxins out.
What are you doing? It's so strenuous.
You're sweat. See, all right. Let's
what
not.
What are you doing?
Let's not. I mean, I sit at the computer.
Okay.
I do a lot of editing.
Hell yeah.
I do.
The clickety clicks. I get it. Okay. Yes, cool. Yes. Got to loosen up the muscles.
I gotta sweat out these hands. I need my hand. I just put my hand through the door of the sauna, and I'm like, I just need this to relax. Well, you can. Yeah, you can. You can get a massage at these places.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Bathhouse where we wanted to go is this beautiful, pristine facility. Russian Turkish baths is like going to a back alley. Like it's whatever the opposite of this nice nightclub environment. I mean, it's okay. Like back alley. It's down and dirty. It does not smell great. I mean, they try with the eucalyptus.
It's like a dive bar.
Exactly. Okay. And it just exists to just go sweat. There's a cold plunge. You know how all the comics are doing cold plunges now. There's a cold plunge pool in there. Anyway, it was fine, and we did get to like we hung out. We had a lot of good conversation. But here, so this is my What's Dad Mad About for the week. If you're new to the show, we were toying with this segment called What's Dad Mad About. So this is what I was mad about.
What's Dad Mad About?
I sit in several rooms with Ross. We're sweating, we're steaming, we're having a nice time, we're drinking, we're doing a lot of hydrating. And then it's time to go to dinner. We're like, all right, it's been a couple hours. Let's shower and go to dinner. And they have showers. And I'm like, all right, I just want to get showered and cleaned off and soaped up and clean. Because, like, you know, it is a little gross. And
you're making the worst sales pitch ever.
I know. I know. You're like, this is the worst date I've ever heard of.
It didn't go well, you say. Oh, no? Going to the disgusting place where you sweat? You show up clean and you get dirty and you got to clean yourself again in that place? That didn't go great, no?
I'm shocked. It didn't hit the romance spot for the two of you?
The stinky place? No, no, it didn't do it? The back alley shower? No.
Oh, man. So I go to the shower. I'm like, I just want to get out of here. Because, you know, you're exhausted afterward. You've been sitting around in 180 degree heat, you know? And I'm showering and I realize I hit the soap thing and there's no soap in the dispenser on the wall. And there's four showers, by the way.
Okay.
But there's some random water bottle in there. So I'm like, I'll take this water and I'll dump it in the top of the dispenser. Maybe it'll flush out the bottom of the soap.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if you do that trick at home. No. I do that and it's just pure water. I'm not going to get clean. So I get out of this shower and now there's a line. And I realize I got to wait online to get to the shower. And I get to the next shower and I go to use that one. And the problem with this one is it's either ice cold water or blistering hot water. Like your skin is going to come off with how hot it is. And there's still no soap in that one. And at this point, I know Ross is already up in the locker room. She's waiting for me. So I like, now I'm pissed that there's two showers in a row that have no soap. So I walk out and I say to one of the guys who's like, there's all these like massage guys around and he works there. And I say to this guy, and they're all like Eastern European, like Russian dudes. They all look like, you know, Eastern Promises, that movie with Viggo Mortensen. Like they look like Russian gang members.
Okay.
I said to this guy, I was like, hey, you guys got any soap down here? And he looks up at me because he's like sitting on a bucket, like waiting for his next client. He looks up at me and he goes, I don't know nothing about soap. And I'm like, motherfucker. Motherfucker. Like,
oh, this is awesome.
And by the way, it's like $65 to get in, something like that, $60. And I'm like, you know, we're spending $120 to be there. Like, there should be some soap. And it just makes me mad. So I go into cranky dad mode and I walk away from him in a huff that he doesn't give a shit about. And I find the restroom where I know there's soap because okay. I used that earlier in the night. And I just tear that dispenser off the wall.
Okay.
Like it was in clips, but I just yank it off the wall and I take the top off of it and I use that as a cup and I dump soap in that. I put this cap full of soap in my pocket. I put the dispenser back on the wall. I march back to the showers across the facility. And then I'm using hand soap from the bathroom to shampoo and clean myself in the shower. That I could only use the super hot one again because the line was crazy. And so I left the opposite of effect of what's supposed to happen, the relaxation effect we were out for, the opposite occurred. And then I think it's a funny story to tell Ross, and then she thinks I'm possibly a psychopath for for breaking their bathroom.
Ross, I'm sorry.
So okay. Anyway.
That's not what I told him to do at all. You can listen to the audio. He misinterpreted everything I said. None of that sounded relaxing whatsoever. Patrick might be the first person to shower in protest, by the way. I think that's incredible.
It was a resentment shower. I took an anger shower. this fucking place.
That is freaking awesome, yo.
And then we went to dinner at 10 o'clock, which was a lovely dinner. But,
okay.
You know, I mean, if you're not working, I mean, you work every night, but if I'm not working, I'm not staying out past 10 o'clock. Like, I get real tired real fast.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we had like, it was actually a really nice dinner, and it was good dope. To sit and chat and connect.
Where'd y'all go?
The Smith on the East Village, same situation. We were going to go to Veselka because we were like, yeah, we'll go have like a Eastern European night. We'll go to the Russian baths, go to the Ukrainian restaurant, and we'll solve world politics. and Veselka, there was a line down the block at 10 o'clock at night, like literally line out the door. And we're like, damn, like, and they're all kids. They're all like 25, 30 year old kids. And we're like, oh, we are the old people.
Oh, yeah.
We're like desperate for a meal at this hour. So yeah, we went to the Smith and that was great. Really nice night. Got home an hour and a half late to relieve Andrea. And we both acknowledged this was not the date we were looking for, but it was the date that happened. And, you know, that's life sometimes.
Yeah, yo, they're not all winners. You know, sometimes you just got to power through them. You know?
Yeah.
But you got to keep doing them.
Yes.
Dating is a skill, you know? So when you don't do it, you lose practice, you know? So you should be doing it more often. And yeah, there's going to be some rough ones, but if you keep doing them, you get better at it. You learn what you don't like when a date goes wrong. Like I promise you, you are going to make reservations next time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little things like that like we take for granted as New Yorkers, but like you shouldn't on date night.
Yeah. And also like, we love Andrea. We can hang out with our friend Andrea who babysat, but like, yeah, we gotta like when she arrives be like, hey, see you later.
Yeah. She's an adult.
Time is money.
Yes, but she's a competent adult. So like if something comes up with your baby that she don't know, she gonna call you.
Yeah.
The rest of like trust that she's not gonna kill your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like she gonna handle that. Like, all right, cool. Like I know how it's not gonna she might not do exactly what you do.
Yeah.
But she's not gonna hurt your kid for the 3 hours she's there. And if something's wildly out of pocket, she'll call you.
Yeah.
So get the hell out of there. Go. Yeah. Keep it moving.
And luckily, our kid is pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah.
She knows the routines. Like, she's, you know, worst case, she doesn't eat. Like, she'll eat, like, the next day. Like,
yeah. Sincerely, like, that's wild, but yeah. But it's true, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you good.
Well, yeah, that's good. That's a good mantra. Dating takes practice.
Yeah, it's a skill, for real.
It's a skill that you have to practice. Yeah.
Yeah, yo, you get rusty at dating because you ain't been dating in a while. Now you got some wild dates.
Yeah,
You know?
Yeah.
And the cool, as a comic, you know this date is just going to be a story you tell. Like, you remember that crazy night we went out?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so as long as y'all have that outlook, bad dates are just good stories.
Yep.
And practice.
Yeah.
And then the good dates to get those because we went on East.
Yeah.
You good.
Yeah, we got lucky with a parking spot. Sometimes it's like when you get an easy parking spot, you think everything's going to go so smooth. But then next thing you know, I don't know nothing about soap. tell me about your weekend. Did anything make you mad at all? Any frustrations as a parent?
I am. At first, I'm mad that my friend Patrick tried to tell me to go to a brush and bath with him. he made the worst sales pitch ever.
I think proceeded to
tell me the scariest story of my life.
I think it. Well, you know, I can
years
tell you
of gunshots, robberies in my hood. This dude told me the most horrifying 20-minute story I've ever heard. None of that sounded pleasant. You know what I mean? Maybe. You know the thing that you avoid the most in life, gas store. You literally pay $400 or $500 a month in central AC bills. He's like, no, let's go where it's the hottest.
And what is it? Sweating? Sweating is your least favorite thing?
I despise sweating.
What about during a workout or a nice long walk or exercise?
I still don't want to sweat. That's why I like walking outside in the winter. I love that. You get some sweat, but it's like, you know, you sweated, but you don't feel sweaty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you don't believe in the cleansing power of a good sweat? Like,
you don't believe in the cleansing power of a good sweat. You literally said, I went in there clean, I sweated, and then I needed to take a shower.
Well,
so it can't cleanse you if you need to clean it off.
No, you're cleansing your insides.
Nah, B.
And then you gotta rinse the
outside. You know who cleans the inside? God did, okay? That's what God does that for you, okay? I trust. Yeah. He's in there managing that system, okay?
Right.
That's not my job. If I was supposed to clean the inside, I would be able to see the inside, okay?
Okay.
Plain and simple.
All right. What's happening with your health journey and your walks?
So I'm trending towards being 1,000 steps more per day for the month of February. Still very low, man, like 3,000, but improving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Next month I'm gonna hit up 4. You know, we making progress in the steps.
You know what's nice is next month is the third month of the year, so you just got to add one. Like, the mental math you have to do is like, in March I'm gonna walk 4,000 steps, April 5,000 steps.
Yeah, I didn't even think of all that, but work.
I'm just thinking. I like to visualize the goals.
We out here, baby. You know what I mean?
No,
I'm excited though. Like I there's like weird little moments, like when I'll take a step during my walk. And, like, it'll feel slightly more athletic one day.
Yes.
I don't know how else to describe it, but, like, I'll take a step and it'll feel like I have more control than I did 2 weeks ago.
Like this is going to be my plant foot for the pick and roll.
Yeah, real talk. Like, oh, I just unlocked a new power.
Yeah.
You know? Like, okay, I got that, you know? So, yeah, it feels good. You know, you out there, you moving. You know what I mean? My skin's getting clearer again. I feel like I'm young, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's great. And does any of this have anything to do with the new pasta sauce that you brought home Friday night? Because this show was in an old Italian restaurant in Hyde Park, New York. And this family, the Coppolas.
Coppolas, baby.
Spelled like Coppola. How do you say Francis Ford Coppola? Coppola, right?
I don't know.
The film director, I think, is spelled the same way, but they pronounce it Coppola. And yeah, they're making their own sauces, and you really cleaned up for the.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm out anywhere, like remotely far away, and like I get a chance to bring some of that home, I like to do that. I like to like share stories with my fam and share experiences with them. So if they couldn't be there, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and this family had a cool story. I rock with stories. You know, it was like 5 brothers.
Yeah.
They came over. They started this restaurant. They have recipes from the family. We got to meet one of the brothers.
The 5 brothers named, it was like Anthony, Nikolai. Yeah. There was literally a Luigi, because I remember that.
And they had like two other uncles who also named their kid Nikolai.
Yeah.
So there was like 3 kids the same age named Nikolai Coppolo in the same school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hilarious.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Then they had like the proceeds go to autism.
Yeah.
So that was cool too. So I was like, yeah, I'll wipe it out. I bought one of every jar of the sauces they have.
Yeah.
And it's just cool to try stuff, you know what I mean?
Like, did you try the sauce yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm waiting for Gabby to cook something. But she's excited, you know. That's not sexist. I just don't know how to cook.
Watch the YouTube comments.
Yeah, I don't want YouTube flipping out on me.
Now that you mentioned that wives cook sometimes, all of a sudden we don't appreciate mothers.
Yeah, it's not that. My wife genuinely loves cooking and is dope at cooking.
Yeah.
But yeah, now she got hyped. She's like, oh, this is cool. We get to try some new stuff. And like, he even gave us a little like book that like had like the life story of the family that led up to opening the restaurant.
Right.
So like, I got to just show that. And like, that's honestly what I miss about like New York in general. You know what I mean? There's like these little like local places that mean a lot to that community.
Right.
So I rock with that. Like, I think it's dope. So yeah, it was cool to kind of bring a little bit of that back. You know what I mean? I told Gabby about the romantic date you and I had.
I love that little dining room.
Real talk, yo. We had a moment. It was beautiful.
Yeah. So we get there and there's a table set up for a banquet dinner for this fundraiser, which was for a great cause. It was the RYLA organization,
yeah.
RYLA. I don't know what it stands for, but they were raising money with this comedy event to send children to summer camp, some kind of camp, like yeah. summer camp or something. And they raised enough money to send a couple kids out for the summer, which makes me feel so good for
yeah.
them, and proud to do it. And you know, these kinds of shows, it's a social event, you know, like you get to meet all these cool people. And they had us set to sit with a group of people at the table, but I have to admit, I said to Heidi, I was like, I think I need my own place for to be a little quiet before the show, because I gotta like save my energy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So they did. They found us a little table to sit behind the bar in a little secret nook. And yeah, it was like a nice little romantic setup we had. Man.
Yo, low-key though, I felt like on some like hitman type joint.
Yeah,
like,
I felt
like a boss.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I only take my dinners in the back room. Okay?
Yes.
You got to get approved to see me, okay?
Yeah.
I'm behind the door.
Yeah, and it was. We were through a door behind an accordion curtain.
Straight
and,
up.
We had a very good meal.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome.
The staff
was like mother son.
They were, yes.
The people that served, James, right?
James and Jody.
Yo,
shout out
to James and Jody.
Real
talk. Y'all know y'all don't listen, but I appreciate it, y'all.
Oh, man. Yeah, Coppola's. We should just go back. Could you imagine we showed up? They're like, did you guys forget something? Like, no, we just love that chicken franchise.
Real talk. Make core memories here, yo. This is beautiful.
And had you ever been up in that area?
Not at all. Of the state? If I have, it was like driving through. Like I never hung out in that area at all. Like the Hudson was like an idea to me.
Yeah.
You know, like I've heard of it. I'm sure it existed, but like I've never seen it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that was like Mount Everest as far as I'm concerned. Like word?
That's just, yeah.
It's a picture on Encarta 96.
Oh, you know? Man. Wow. I haven't thought of that. the CD-ROM?
Oh yeah!
Put in the CD-ROM so you can search for the Hudson River.
Real talk, that shit came with my Packard belt.
Whoa,
you
that is a throwback. People, man, people do not understand how amazing it is to have the internet and now ChatGPT. Like, could you imagine? Like, ChatGPT is essentially just searching Wikipedia and the internet or whatever, and like making all this stuff up. But like, yeah, in '96 with the CD-ROM, it was like you had like maybe 500 things you could learn about on there. Like they couldn't fit a whole lot on there. That's crazy.
Yo. And that was what you got when you couldn't afford the encyclopedia, the bricks.
Right.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had friends that would get like three letters, you know.
They only knew,
like, yo, I know everything about E, F, and G. Okay.
Yeah. They're like, you're like, why all the elephant facts? Stop trying to impress me with that.
Real talk, yo.
I growing up in that area where we were around the Hudson River, like there's this like short, it's a short way of talking where you say, oh, he grew up on the other side of the river, or like, no, you got to go across the river if you want to go to that mall.
Oh.
Across the river is a phase, and that feels very like kind of cute and like
I rock with that.
Yeah,
I felt like a bond with that you had with the room because you was like one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're like, oh yeah, he a local. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there is a difference between like. Yeah, it's like west of the Hudson versus east. Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble by trying to spell out what those differences are, but it was nice to be there.
Real talk, I digged it. I thought it was cool, beautiful and, people.
Yeah, like what a guy. Heidi's dad just showing up with all this gear,
yo,
set up the stage and the lights and the sound.
To be that man, real talk.
Yeah.
Super involved in this community, doing positive work at that age. B, I didn't think it was possible for somebody that age to like lay down on the floor and get up on their own like that. That dude is demonstrating a level of athleticism that I don't know if I'll ever, I don't know I could do it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was just like up and down off the floor setting up the cables. Yeah, like, this dude's doing it.
He's plugging, he's playing, he's making it all work.
That's the homie, real talk,
and,
man.
And singing your praises. I mean, this guy, you're literally his favorite stand-up comic.
I mean, I was before the show.
Yeah. No, well, no, you still are. When we took a picture with him, his face was glowing. He was so happy to meet you.
Yo, and my favorite part, though, is he likes my story. Then he comes up after me. He's like, yo, I got a story to tell you, but don't tell Heidi.
Yes. Yeah, Heidi,
we got
some dirt about you and your mom when you were a tiny little baby.
Real talk, yo, your dad's the man.
That was very sweet. That guy, do you remember that other guy with all the kids? He gave me a story also afterward. That's you got to accept that as an honor, right? If somebody wants to talk to you after the show, that's way better than the opposite when they're like avoiding eye contact.
Amen.
I feel lucky. I mean, you killed it up there. I feel lucky
I honestly thought you had the better set. I thought we both did well, but I thought you connected with the room different.
Well, this is where the Odd Couple thing comes in handy. I think it's just such a different thing that they get to see. They get to see two very different comedians, and both I think are, you know, you're a great comic, and I think we're both I think I'm capable. I think you're a great,
we're doing our thing, bro.
And I think it was a good show all around.
It was good times, but I agree. I think that when they want to talk to you after, that's a sign that the show went well.
Yeah.
It's just them saying like, hey, I connected with you. I feel like I owe you sharing something back.
Right.
You know, like, how can I reciprocate what you've given me?
Yeah.
So I love that moment. You know what I mean? Especially when, because it's usually something related to what you did.
Yeah.
So they're trying to say, hey, this is what you reminded me of.
And I actually think the guy who was talking my ear off, because I have to remember, this is a really nice thing. Like, don't go to this place of like, when is this guy going to shut the heck up so I can move on with my life? And he didn't take up that much of my time. It was actually nice. But he gave me an idea that I'm like, oh, maybe there's an angle with that thing he mentioned. I won't bore you with what that all is, but yeah, like,
that's dope. I love that part of the show, honestly. Like, I love hanging out with fans after the show. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
The only time I have an issue with it is if it's the first show, just because I got to get ready for another show. Yeah. But even then, I still want to do it. It's just I have to go prep again.
Yeah, yeah.
But outside of that, like, yo, I love. I never feel like yo, I gotta go. Like, that's my favorite part of it. Being frank, I feel like I've earned it.
Yeah.
You know, like, so yeah, let's talk, let's chill. You know what I mean? It's a good time. It's why I think this is better than the other arts. I don't like the separation that takes place between artists and audience in almost every other art form. I think it shows in the arts that they make.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
I love hip hop, but I think there's a reason why, like, there's a competitive and like I'm better than you aspect in most of the culture's popular music.
Right.
Because they're separating themselves from the audience in the entire dynamic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't communicate directly. They don't necessarily touch the fans. Some of them do. I'm not saying everybody, but there is like that like separation of them and the audience. Comedy's different. Like, we're in smaller environments. We're closer to the audience. After the show, we always talk to the fans. It's a very much like we're one of you. We're talking for you.
Yeah.
Whereas every other art, whether it's music or painting or photography, it's like what we see of y'all.
Yes.
Whereas comedy is like what we see with y'all.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And it comes through in the connection. So like, I vibe with that. Yeah, come talk to me after the show. And I usually get fun tags for my jokes. Like, funny thing happened after because I talked about this.
Right.
So I'm with it.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a really fun crowd. And then, we definitely learned who in that town, what was that guy? He was like the head of, not
was like
finance.
A comptroller or something. Like
he was, he was some kind of public official.
The planner.
Yeah. A town planner. Yeah.
Town
he was,
planner.
He was dealing with construction and building and he is kind of phoning it in. But he keeps getting elected. I wonder if that is an elected position.
What I enjoyed were the three young dudes that, like, I feel like just snuck into the show. They were like, yeah, we here. Like, cause like they came up to us after and like kind of let us know like, hey, every time you went a little too far, we rocked with it.
Right.
You know? So I was like, yeah. Y'all ain't crazy. It's just, you know, those are our parents' parents.
Yeah. What's interesting about those guys, so this was for a Rotary Club fundraiser. It's like in a small town, do you just join the Rotary Club if you want to like, I guess it's about civic public service and civic duty or connections. I don't even know. Like if I'm a young guy, what's the motive to join the Rotary Club? I wonder.
I assume that's like how you date.
Yeah. It's, you know? It's the scene.
That's the scene right there, B. I feel like it's like you building your resume. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, y'all work here. I'm in the Rotary. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I go fishing.
Yeah.
You don't find that attractive? You know, like that's the whole thing.
I could see a couple of those guys running for office, maybe.
Yeah, they building the whole thing. You know what I mean? Vote for me. I'm in the Rotary.
If you move upstate ever, would you join the Rotary, or would you do like, would you kind of join the town hall, like try to be a, would you go into politics?
I could see that. It depends. Like, so there's a part of me that would want to become like Shooter. Like, I would just go into like a weird log cabin. And just be by myself, talk to my dog.
Is that a Mark Wahlberg Shooter reference? Yeah, I could see you do that.
You know what I mean? Just be out here, like, chilling, practicing my photography instead of shooting guns. That's about
it. Yeah.
You know? Making weird podcasts, talking to trees.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be great. But I am very much, like, extremes. Like, people assume I'm an extrovert. Actually, like, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
But, like, when I need people, I need people.
Right.
So, like, and in those environments, I tend to do well. Like, people like, I feel like I give off good vibes and vice versa. And I could see myself unintentionally being an elected official. Like, yeah. I was the president of my Spanish club, and I didn't run for Spanish club president.
That's amazing.
Straight up. I don't know.
You just got elected.
I just got elected. I walked in. I showed up late to the first meeting by 40 minutes. It was an hour-long meeting. I had my headphones on. I waved. And I
were you elected as a prank? Like, were they like, let's just...
So they talked to me afterward, and I was like, yo, like, why... why'd I get elected? Like, I took off my headphones when they, like, were cheering, saying that, like, I'm elected president. So, like, the girls that I was cool with convinced me to come to the thing. I was like, all right, fine. I'm going to try to pop into this, like, Spanish club thing. I show up, and, like, apparently you can't run if you're not in the room. And
right.
Other people have to nominate you. So, like, I'm going to the seat with my headphones on. They're like, I nominate G.
Uh-huh.
And, like, then they're like, yeah, we vote for G. So I asked them afterwards, like, yo, why'd I become president? Like, oh, because we wanted one of the popular people to be president because then more people will come to our stuff.
Yes, for promotional reasons.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, all of the Spanish club events was like, yeah, yo, come chill at the Spanish club with G. And the rest of the
That's
crew.
That's amazing.
And I was like, all right, cool. I'm like, I'm going to be there anyway.
You're a party promoter for the Spanish
straight
club.
Straight up, yo. We was killing it, though. Spanish club had the flyers dances. They, like, organized all of that. And they just put, like, my picture on the front of stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're the PR person. You're the spokesperson.
Straight up.
Did you ever learn Spanish?
I knew Spanish. Like, I'm Dominican. I speak it. I got an accent, but I'm fluent. But, like, it wasn't my goal to, like, have a commitment. I was just showing up because, like, my homies was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My homie Donna, Melissa, you know what I mean? Carolina, they were chilling there. You know what I mean? They're like, yo, come chill with EBC. I was like, all right, cool. I'll come say what up.
What does EBC stand for?
EBC is, it was the East Bottom crew. That's where our lockers were in the building.
Oh, nice.
So once a month, all the Spanish kids would go. Would not be at the by the lockers because they would be at the Spanish club.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, so I'm gonna go chill with my people in there. And when I walked in, admittedly these three young ladies were very strategic with their planning. So like they coordinated this like nominate second thing as soon as I walked in. I won the election. Literally walked in late, got voted president. Never knew the whole process was happening.
Uh-huh.
Had my headphones on the whole time. We had a successful year. We raised great money. We crushed it at International Night. The girls had a great dance organized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I made the beat for that, so I did do something as president.
Oh, amazing.
You know, but admittedly, I was more like a shadow president. Like, they did all the work.
Yeah.
Full kudos to them.
You were a figurehead.
Yeah, I was definitely a figurehead. You know what I mean? Real Manchurian candidate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that. I think that says a lot about your personality. Were you ever, like, elected or voted any kind of superlatives in high school?
I came in second for most popular. I know that.
So you were second most popular.
Yeah, but the kid I lost to, I feel like they was doing that as a prank to him, and I feel bad.
Oh yeah,
I didn't like that. Yeah. Like I was kind of tight at that.
Yeah.
So I've told the story elsewhere. I rigged the elections though for the yearbook thing.
Uh huh.
So like I went to a predominantly white school, cool with a bunch of white kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those is my homies, but we were. The minorities were like a third of the school as a whole,
mm-hmm.
between like the Filipino kids, the Spanish kids, the black kids. But if you look at the yearbooks, all those like things went to white kids because they were the majority.
Oh, the superlatives.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like most likely to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, the popular or whatever. So
maybe that should be counted on a curve anyway.
Yo, I thought so too. I was like, yo, we got to get some of these because like we don't look like we went here or we don't look like we was popping.
Right.
And we was popping. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I went around to all the like lunchroom tables where the minorities sit and I said, yo, we need to have our own election.
You had a campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, let's get together. We gathered in the backyard by the basketball courts. We held our own election and then we all agreed as a group to vote for those people.
I think that was a caucus.
Straight up.
I think you had a caucus.
Yeah, yo. So like if you look at that yearbook, St. Francis Prep 2001. Every year before that, like, there's, like, two minorities that win of the 26 things. We won 13 of the 26 that year. Like, we dominated, yo. I got called into the principal's office over it. They were like, yo, like, we heard you had a meeting over this. And
but
like,
that's
kids
not...
And I was like, I didn't do anything wrong. And they were like, yeah, we agree. We just wanted to, like, understand what happened.
We just want to know how to suppress grassroots movements in the future.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of kids complaining. They're like, yo, we heard you had, like, a secret meeting. And I was like, yeah, it wasn't a secret. I'm telling y'all I did it.
That is fascinating.
But straight up, I led a movement. I'm proud of it. We had some great people win awards that they deserved. That they wouldn't have gotten noticed for. You know what I mean?
You're the Bernie Sanders of St. Francis Prep.
We out here, baby. You know what I mean? I think Ashley Borison won Prettiest Girl. I think my boy Reggie won, like, Funniest.
They can't be doing Prettiest or Best Looking
today.
Excuse me. They can't be doing that anymore, right?
I don't think so. I think that'd be wild.
Like, that is a very 2001 thing. Like, that feels like maybe 2005 was the last year.
The cutoff for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, maybe, I don't know. But that, right, so we had that too, but
yeah,
like, that is crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I don't think there's anything wrong. As long as you're not saying like, yo, we gonna vote for ugliest, I think that's
right.
Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything wrong voting for like prettiest or handsome. But I get it, you know what I mean? People feel different about it, I ain't mad
at it. Yeah. I don't know, I think if you single people out for being best looking, then the other people might think, well, who's the worst looking, and is it me, you know?
Like, yeah, I get that. That's fair. I ain't mad at that.
I mean? I could also be just projecting my own complexes because I had a bully phase. Luckily, it was when I was much younger than high school years, but...
Like, you were bullying kids?
Oh, yeah. Fifth, sixth grade. I was a cruel little shit. So thank God I grew out of that.
It's messed up, B.
Yeah.
Think you know somebody.
I'm not proud of it. but that's how things turned around. By the time I was in high school, I was voted personality plus, I think is the official term.
Okay.
And similar to your Spanish club thing, I was the voted prom king and homecoming king.
Killing it.
Two separate years, which usually go to like athletes, like the football stars or whatever. But I think, I gamed the system somehow. My friends make fun of me that I politicked and I campaigned for these things, which I definitely did not. I did not formally say, hey, you got to vote for me. But I did, by the time I was in high school, I learned that like I just wanted people to like me. So I did go out of my way to try to get people to like me, which is its own form of campaigning that is kind of sad.
Yeah, that's fair.
But,
I don't think that's sad. I think that's fair. I honestly think I did that too. I think I necessarily think I made an effort to be liked, but I knew that there was value in it.
Yeah.
I knew that I didn't want to be disliked.
It's like social currency.
Yeah.
To like get through as a weird, awkward teenager, you got to figure out how to like get through.
Yeah. You know? And I think everyone does it differently. I don't know. I def didn't rock with bullying. I def remember checking people on that hard.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't vibe with that. Like in general, I feel like I like the idea of bullying. Like I want it to exist.
Yeah.
Like I think it's important to have assholes.
It's one of our checks and balances. Yeah. As we a society.
Need, we need shitty people. Yeah. Like to be clear, I'm cool with them existing. I'm just like we also need people that are okay checking them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's how the world should work.
Yeah,
you know?
It's, I mean, that's like goes back to like the tribal stuff. Like there's natural ebbs and flows and dynamics in any kind of group of people.
Yeah, I was cool with it. Also, like, I was tight because like I didn't care about not winning most popular. I was mad at who won it.
Mm.
I thought that was messed up. They was messing with my boy, and I thought another dude deserved it, and he ain't get it. You know what I mean? I thought it was grimy. Me and him was peace.
How are they doing? How is he doing? Do you know anything about him now?
The guy that won it, I know he still stayed very awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So like it is he did himself no favors for a long time there. I lost track of him after a while. The kid that should have won it passed away, unfortunately.
Oh man.
You know what I mean? That was my dude. But yeah, like I felt he was hands down the most popular kid in school.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was probably the most popular Spanish kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's weird that this is how we grouped them, but like
Yeah. I mean
it just is what it is. Like I feel like segregation happened in high school mainly because of what bus you took to school.
Right.
You know, I just lived in a neighborhood with other Spanish kids.
Separate but equal.
Yeah. You know? And we sat in our old chairs. We would occasionally venture off to other areas if you had to like trade homework or something.
Yeah, I mean, dude, these things are ancient, you know, like the whole birds of a feather thing. Like that's just how the world is until you like you advance like emotionally and like evolve is the word I was trying to think of. Like people evolve to a point where they're like, oh yeah, none of that actually matters.
Amen. That's what was beautiful about the EBC area. Now I mean, because it was like everybody was cool there as long as you had a locker there.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it didn't matter what you was. It was, we was together because of random luck of this locker.
Yeah.
Drum, you know, we had these lockers that like were in a weird like pocket. So like we had like private,
right,
like area that like, we could just do knuckleheaded nonsense in.
And is this where, if you were in a relationship, was that like you the make out area?
Like they had a phone booth. Yeah. They had a phone booth. Yeah. Who has a phone booth?
I can remember when the making out started happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I make that happen? What's going on in their mouths? Like you see, cause like people would, I remember two or three couples would like, the bell would ring in between class. They would meet, they would make out for like that 2 minutes between classes.
Yeah.
Not say a word to each other. Just like deep French kissing, awkward ass French kissing as like 15-year-olds or whatever, 16, 17, whatever. And I just remember thinking like, they're just going to do that the whole time. Are they even breathing right now? What's going on between their mouths? Like, I can't see, but also you can't look, you can't like stop and stare. But yeah, just being certain that I was never going to get to do that.
I definitely remember making it a point to mostly date outside of my high school.
Yeah.
Mainly because I felt like, yo, like strategically, like dating in here is just like slowing me down. I'm trying to get to class.
Right.
You know,
right.
I got 5 minutes. I can't be holding your hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like waiting for you to get your books while I got my books. Like I'm ready to go.
I got a GPA to uphold.
Real talk, B. I'm on scholarship. Okay.
I can't get distracted by TNA.
Real talk. That's what 3 to 9 is for. Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's so interesting about the city, New York City. You could just date. You're amongst so many other people your age. Even if you don't go to the same school.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think anyone I dated, the more I think about it, I only dated like 2 or 3 people while in school from school. Anyone I dated from there was afterward. But for the most part, during high school, I dated people outside, like other schools.
And man, now look at the life cycle. Look at the cycle. Your children are probably old enough to start that part of their journey.
It's crazy.
How are you, and we can leave this on a cliffhanger, but how does that feel?
Not good overall. Not because I'm like, not because it's bad, but because I don't know the answers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be questions that, like, I don't know if I, like, figured out quite yet.
Yeah.
How to answer them in a way that, like, is honest and fair and consistent, you know?
Right.
I still, this is definitely one of the things where, like, I'm struggling with machismo. Yeah. Like, I want to give my daughter and my son different answers.
Right. Interesting.
And I got, and I know that's wrong. So I'm trying to, like, figure out a way where, they get what they need and I still feel like I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I haven't figured that out yet. And it's coming soon. I got to figure it out. They might be dating already. Who knows? Real talk.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
I'm going to go ask them right now. Are you dating? Tell me. I'm supposed to know.
With a flashlight in their eyes?
They tell my wife more of that stuff. So I feel like if something crazy was happening, she would tell me. But also if it's like, if I don't need to know, she won't tell me.
Right.
And I'm okay with that system. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm fixing the boilers, you know. I'm handling tenants and I'm telling jokes. That's what I'm capable of.
Right.
Okay. We've been in this apartment 10 years. I just learned how the lights work on the other side of the apartment. Okay.
Yeah.
Recently, I don't got time for like the emotional depth of that just yet. You know. Now I want to be here for y'all, for real. Daddy loves y'all, but I don't know the answer. But know that I'm gonna try.
Yeah, I think you're going to do great just because you have the spirit of like trying to figure out the right way to go about something and you know where your blind spots are.
Yeah.
And they're going to appreciate that so much and everybody's going to be great. It's going to be a really great set of teenage years you're entering right now.
And you know, if it's weird, you know, just like I'm a do what Patrick does. I'm going to say, hey, listen, you know what would make this better if we go talk about this at a Russian bath.
Exactly.
You know, let's go sweat it out.
Get in the steam room.
Get in the steam room. That's where everything comes out. You know?
All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.